that deals with congregational health. And I still believe, Sister Shanika, that the church is one of the prime vehicles, amen, one of the fine vehicles to educate awareness. And so we're grateful tonight that we can have some of these relevant conversations about health, and that the church continues to be the historical center of comfort, healing, guidance, and education. Deacon Forrest, go ahead and lead us tonight and tonight's Bible study. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Forrest.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much for that prayer tonight. Again, good evening to those who just joined us. And we'll go ahead and get started. If you have your Bibles, go with us to Psalms 107. And that tonight will be our undergirding. What I like about this psalm, that it also speaks to biblical healing. And so we will look at a scripture undergirding in Psalms 107. It talks about give reason of thanksgiving, but also a biblical healing takes place. So we want to look at Psalms 107 tonight. Psalms 107. Amen. Anybody there? Psalms 107. All right, Sister Bailey, take a look at, read verse 19 and verse 20. Psalms 107, verses 19 and 20. Now I give the historical context, and we'll share from there.
Okay, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word, and he healed them.
He what?
And delivered them. He sent his word, he healed them, and he delivered them from their destructions.
Amen. Wonderful. That's a shouting cue right there. And it said, and I'm reading from the King James Version, it said that, then they cried unto the Lord, and their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. Isn't that something? And he delivered them from their destruction. He sent his word first.
Amen.
And then the people were healed. And notice, before God created, he sent his word out. The word precedes the experience of healing. And so we're grateful tonight that the psalmist really helps us tonight. This Psalms 107, I know we didn't read the entire verse, but this psalm really speaks to the redeeming people who were going to give thanks to God for what he has done. But also, God has done some things for us tonight. He's given us life in our body. We have something to be thankful for. But also then they gave thanks, but he also challenged them to respond and praise to his providence. In other words, we cannot forget where our help comes from. And at any moment, we should be ready to give thanks. Here are some special points for Psalms 107, tonight's Bible study. The first thing is, there's the redeemed. If you read a little early in verse 2, 107, I want you to read this entirety when you get a chance for your own spiritual formation. The psalmist says in 107, verse 2, Shanika, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Wow. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now go to the preceding verse. This is verse 1. So we came from verse 19 and 20. We went from Psalms 107, verse 3. Now look at verse 1. It says, I'll give you a minute just to look at it. Psalms 107, verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endures forever." What's the key word here? Let me read it again. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Can anybody tell me what's the key thought or the key word in verse 1?
He is good and endureth.
Okay. He's good and he endured forever. Why? Because he has made covenant with us. Do you know that tonight we serve a covenantal God? And he's described as a God who's strong and enduring. So when we think about all that God has done for us, he has delivered and he has redeemed. And when we're talking about deliverance, not just from Egypt to Canaan or the promised land, but we went from a deliverance even in our bodily need. And that's why tonight we ought to be talking about health and the importance of health awareness and education. And I think it's important, even in the midst of a pandemic, that this subject demands attention. We know that there is so much going on in the healthcare system, and that many times it affects the outcomes in African Americans, sometimes even with hypertension. Can anybody tell me what is hypertension? Anybody, what is hypertension?
High blood pressure.
Absolutely. High blood pressure. Absolutely. So what's important, thank you, Reverend Johnson, high blood pressure. And so the thought is, we need to continue to provide self-care. Is that all right? Self-care. And that's something that ought to be important for us. Hypertension.
Yeah, get off the pork.
What you say, sis?
Get off the pork. Get off the thing to make your blood pressure go up.
There you go.
We all love the pork. At my age, I've gotten off of it. I just did it when I turned 60 in September, because I told myself, well, God told me to take better care of myself because I'm getting older, not younger.
All right.
So certain things, I stop eating, they run my pressure up. When I get my potato chips, I make sure they salt free.
All right. So
they're made by Lay's, they salt free. And a lot of things that I watch how much salt has in it. Because things are naturally salted. I can good.
Okay, okay.
And I watch how I cook. Don't use a lot of seasoned salt and don't be putting a lot of stuff in there that would run my pressure up.
Okay, thank you, thank you. Thank you, sis. For sharing that, and we know that, as our brother said, high blood pressure, and then sometimes called hypertension, sometimes called, and we'll get to sickle cell in just a moment, hypertension is sometimes called the silent killer, because there are usually no symptoms until it becomes a significant problem. Studies show, Sister Bailey, that it's a common disease that affects approximately 7 to 8 million individuals in the United States. Isn't that something? And evidence shows that treating hypertension can decrease the risk of cardiovascular disease. And so the purpose of a congregational health Bible study is to elevate awareness and provide education and have these discussions. Because I believe if I feel better, my bodily need, I worship better, and I lead better. I think it's important. And that the church is a vehicle to partner with organizations or other churches or in the community, and to address some of the racial disparities, even in hypertension. And so we wanted to have these conversations. Again, I'm not a physician. Now, I may be a doctor of the church, but I'm no physician. But I believe that is something that is affecting our community. That's something we know how to talk about. Last thing related to hypertension, some of the risk factors, and many of us know it, so I'm not saying something that we don't know. But with high blood pressure, here are some risk factors. Obesity, sometimes family history, sometimes, as Sister Bailey alluded to, high salt diet, stress. That's why I went to Psalms 107 earlier, that we can give that stress to the Lord. It could be alcohol. And finally, a sedentary lifestyle. But how is this treated? We treat it sometimes with medication and dietary restrictions and lifestyle changes, such as weight loss or exercise and relaxation methods. And so my question to you tonight, what are your feelings about hypertension, and what could be some solutions that practically can help us? Because we know we have an aging congregation and we don't have a lot of youth. And so, along with our youth and middle-aged and those who are advanced in years, we can educate each other about some of these risk factors and diseases. Any thoughts on... Again, we're just talking tonight. We're just talking.
Yeah, I recommend that you change your diet right away if you know that you're eating things you aren't supposed to eat.
Okay.
You'll live longer. Take it from me. My doctor has to tell me twice. If you want to add 10 years to your life, just change your diet. As simple as that.
Okay, good. Yeah, change your diet. Okay. Thank you, sis. And the reason we want to bring this, just have a discussion, is that high blood pressure is nothing new in the African-American family. And studies show that it begins early within us, and it can become severe. And so the more we are aware of, yes. Okay. Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine now. Uh huh.
Okay. Well, okay. You know, another thing we can do is change, like, our family said, we need to change our diet. That's mm-hmm. very, very important.
Okay.
But we can also exercise.
Mm hmm.
That's important. And I mean, when I say exercise, I mean just walking an extra mile a day
mm-hmm.
or doing those kinds of things will help you to release stress and also help your blood pressure.
Okay. Excellent. So we have we can alter our eating habits. It's important to exercise. Any other suggest? Again, we're not recommending, but we're making some suggestions.
And not to get upset so easily. Try to be calm and cool as much as possible.
All right.
Amen.
Don't get upset easily. Let me get how this so powerful, so basic what you're saying, Sister Fiona, but so powerful and profound. What happens sometimes, and we're going to then turn it over to our sister, our guest tonight. What's so powerful in what you just said is because high blood pressure, as we said earlier, it's nothing new for African-American families. And so as easy as the topic of racism that can affect our a psychosocial factor in high blood pressure because of the stress of it, right? Not everybody know how to have a healthy conversation without getting worked up. Do y'all hear me? So it's how we have productive conversations and interventions to improve, amen, high blood pressure outcomes. Somebody laughing, you know what I'm talking about. So it's a proper way to address.
I used to know how to do that. And I would say, be quiet, are you doing the drawing of your blood right now? You're doing all that fussing and cussing
for nothing. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You're dead on. So really, we're trying to understand some of the challenges and try to manage the hypertension, the high blood pressure. And it ought to be important. And sometimes the black family, we don't talk about it. And we don't properly know how to manage or some of these hard conversations in the family until it goes bad. So what we're saying tonight is having the right attitude to have healthy conversations related to disease and healthcare. And that's something we ought to talk about, even within our own families. You know, when our people were captured and brought over here, it was a certain, we brought certain ways or customs and traditions. So there are some things our body don't respond to in contrast to our white brothers and sisters. And so we had to blend a culture of African and European traditions. We began eating some of the same, with some of the things they eat, and we began to kind of do our own thing. And, you know, culturally, we adopted some things, but we've always had a certain way of medical care. And we had a high theology about ourselves. I won't go deep into that, Reverend Johnson, but we just wanted to speak tonight about hypertension and high blood pressure. It's a very serious, serious issue. And we can look to the text for biblical healing and practicality. Next, let's move on and talk about, with our guest tonight, my sister Shanika Pitts of One Blood. And hopefully she can share her particular expertise, whether talking about blood donation, education as relates to sickle cell. And welcome, my sister. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Wonderful. Shanika, could you just share with us, what is sickle cell? Okay.
But sickle cell is an inherited blood disease, and it's most commonly found in African Americans. So about 90%, well, about 90,000 individuals in the U.S. have sickle cell disease, and 98% of those are African Americans. So basically it's when, you know, we have that nice round red blood cell. And what happens is the sickle cell patient hits the name sickle. Is actually shaped like a crescent. And what happens is it doesn't have a nice flow. So all of the crescent red blood cells get stuck in one area and it causes great, great, great pain. Mm. Some people even describe it as a sharp light that they fighting off their arm. So it causes great pain, and the only thing that relieves those individuals from that pain is a simple blood donation. Which, as we know, and I can speak on it from my family as well, is culturally in the African American community, that is not something that we do. We do not do blood donations. It's not something that we're brought up doing. It's not something that's in our culture, I say. And if we do have anyone on the line that does give blood, would love to hear what made you start doing it, and how long you've been doing it. Because, as I mentioned, the thing that we're trying to do, so One Blood has actually, as myself, to focus primarily on sickle cell because the need is so high as far as the blood donation, and we don't get it. I'm not gonna get all, you know, detailed and things when it comes to it, but it is, like I said, one out of every 10 African Americans have a trait. So whether your parents actually had the disease or not, a lot of individuals are actually born with the trait. Now, we're not the only ones that are affected. We have the Eastern people, Indian, Asian, but when it comes to us, we make up 98% of it. So again, just trying to get out there more so and get us to donate more. Now, tying in with hypertension, what we have noticed is that when we do come out to donate, it's one of two things that we run into with our African American community, and that's that high blood pressure. So it's great that we're even having this conversation tonight. But it does make a difference with us. But we have to make sure that we are taking care of our bodies. And the other part is what we see often when we do have the African American community to come out to donate is your low iron. So I'm not sure if Pastor, if you have spoken about hemoglobin and or iron deficiency. But that is also something, being anemic, in lack of better words, is something that is going on with us and something that can be changed a lot so with the diet. Eating things that actually are iron rich foods can make a world of difference. So I think that this whole sermon that you guys are doing, a session that you guys are doing about self-care is very important, because it's something that's not discussed. We just go day to day, we don't dive in deep about what we can do for our culture to live longer, because nobody else is going to tell us that. So we have to make sure we're looking out for one another.
Amen. You know, Sister Nika, we talk about many times, from the church standpoint, we talk about the spiritual piece of it, which is important, but also how we take care of our bodies is just as important. So I feel like, Shanika, that having a holistic approach is so important in identifying some of the priorities. And what I like about, we can say what we want to say about our health institutions and our churches, but I believe there ought to be a partnership that we can continue to promote wholeness, health, amen, and spiritual well-being. And we know that God is the author of healing tonight. So not just mentally and spiritually, but physically. Sister Shanique, I do have a question. You made mention of sickle cell. Could you talk about some of the signs and symptoms of sickle cell?
Yeah, and so as I mentioned, that it is inherited, and I know nowadays, because it is so common, doctors are checking it in infants when they're born. I know my son was born, that was one of the tests that was automatically conducted. To see if he was sickle cell, had sickle cell disease or the trait in itself. But from time to time, you feel different things. People have said that, you know, the main thing that happens is that pain, that
Shanika, when I was in mental health prior to the ministry and serving as a chaplain, when I worked in mental health and I worked with families, I served as a case manager, and I had individuals not only who had a mental disorder or diagnosis, but there were some who had was diagnosed with sickle cell, and they talked about that pain. They talked about the swelling, the night sweats, and had one particular young man. It were days where he felt fine, and there were days where his entire body was hurting.
It taped over.
Yeah. And it delayed. He was a young man at the time. It delayed his growth. And so these are some. Yeah. You follow me? So these are some, we don't have to be the expert, but having some kind of working knowledge of these diseases that affect our families. And so our hope, Shanika and I talked about recently, maybe there's something we want to do First Baptist is a blood drive. Maybe sometime in April, and we'll talk it over and hope to plan for it. But the main thing is we identify some of the health issues facing our community and our families. And what I like about the discussion is we're elevating awareness, because it may not be affecting you personally, but maybe you have a friend, a cousin, a family member that has this particular disease, whether it's hypertension, heart disease, sickle cell. But we want to have some sense, some kind of knowledge of these particular issues facing our families. But we still know that God, He can heal, but sometimes He healed in different ways. It could be a physical healing, and He used physicians, people in place, to give us the knowledge that we need. So we need to talk about it and have a discussion, because it's a real issue. I talked about a student. I didn't mention this, Shanika, but I have a student right now talk this evening. I had prayer with her. She's a student. I serve as an academic dean at a local Christian college. I have a student right now who's struggling with she has diabetes. She's young and she's struggling with going through the process of being a diabetic. So my point is, we have different diseases that are affecting us, and sometimes we don't even know. And so,
amen,
we can continue to educate ourselves. Again, we can talk about the Bible, but also different things that affect us, so we can live out biblically and a life of faith. Any thoughts, any questions? Shanika, you're on to something. Any thoughts?
Well, I'm diabetic, and I don't have a time struggling because I'm a good cake baker, and I'm a good baker, period. So it's times of season, like when Thanksgiving and Christmas come, that I gotta say, hold your horses, because I live alone, and I want the Lord to keep preserving my body and to tell the doctor to tell me what to do when I need to do it. Like, I work at Zaxby's. I don't eat any more of their cookies. I don't eat any more of their french fries, because certain things that I didn't know just send your sugars got high.
Okay.
Like potatoes.
Okay. Okay. That's good.
And I'm a potato lover. I don't think they fried, they boiled, they what I love, a bake. I love potatoes. But okay, the doctor told me you gotta get off them potatoes, because even the fries is actually all they're doing is killing you.
Lord,
and
I
if
must.
You wanna live longer, you see now if you wanna live to 70 or 80, you gotta cut it out.
Amen.
Stop baking them cakes. Stop baking them pies.
Because
I do it on Sunday.
Hold on a sec. Hold on now. Hold on.
Corona came out.
Hold on, Sister Bailey. Now, you're talking about my cakes now. Hold on a second. No, I'm just messing with you. We definitely have to do better and take care of ourselves. Shanika, I said diabetes. I meant, I'm sorry, she's going to be on dialysis. I meant, let me correct that. Sister Frisch.
Yeah, that's a process. It takes a lot from your body. Yeah.
So.
And that's what it does to you. I don't want to wind up on it. I was 60 in September. This year I'm 61. So I told myself, hold your horses, because I got family members that are younger than I am, and they on dialysis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that the sugar diabetes did to them.
Yeah.
Because they knew they were diabetic, but they did not listen to the doctor. When the doctor tell me something, he got to tell me twice.
Sure.
I'm changing things. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Because I think God put it in their brain to tell us. Because they're the next thing to Jesus Christ. Them and judges, certain people with certain positions, they hold your life in their hand.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right on it, Sister Bailey. So this young lady, and I won't get into her story, but she shared with me this evening that she said, Dr. Thorpe, they're going to put me on dialysis. And I asked her what was her thoughts, how she feel about it. She said she's hurt, and just to start the process. And I asked, have you spoken with your family about it? And she's already done that. Young person, and would need a transplant. So she has certain feelings about the process, Shanika. And but how to have these conversations, and not just we gonna pray now, but having a healthy conversation with persons who have particular diseases. Because sometimes people just want you to listen to them, and I offered pray, and we prayed, but I want to know how is she feeling about all of this, right? And what's her plan? She talked about her plan. She sat with her family, and families need to have these conversations, and it's okay to have these conversations, but sometimes the African-American family shy away from the hard conversation. There are some families who don't even know what an advanced directive is. When I served as a chaplain in Alamance, we would walk with families, Shanika, through an advanced directive, talk about some of those, if this happens, what does the family want to do, who's the beneficiary, what's the plan? I feel like, Shanika, the more we have these conversations, and we elevate awareness, that it helps the family prepare their heart and mind about that which is to come. Amen. I know this is some tough stuff, but it's real. It's real. And it's happening.
Yeah.
We all gonna pass someday. Now, I'm not saying, Shanika, I'm ready to go, but I'm gonna do the best I can to be a good steward to what God has given me.
Me too.
And as a pastor, I'm obligated to talk about real issues and how to address real problems. Not from just a biblical standpoint, but practically. What are some things? And my sister said earlier, there are not a lot of churches talking about this. And we're saying it's important to us, and it demands priority. Shanika, the floor is yours, sis.
You said just about everything. I think the main thing, especially in our community, as I mentioned earlier, is that we just have to have those tough conversations. We have to educate one another, and we have to listen. Because we may think we know it all, bias against so much, so many different things, but we just have to listen and know what's good for us, or what's good for someone else. As I mentioned, the blood donation process is not something that we do, but for us not to give blood, we are the ethnicity group that needs it the most. So it's so crazy that we have all these Black Lives Matter things that's going on.
Jesus.
When it actually comes to a health standpoint, we're not having that same energy to say that such and such lives matter, my neighbor's life matter. We have to make a difference. And again, One Blood, who I work for, we're the primary supplier to Cone Health, so Alamance Regional. Any donations that we receive, blood units that we receive, it goes locally. It's going to go to support your local hospitals. And again, we need it. And like I say, with our ethnicity group, we just don't give as much as we should. And we hear all different kinds of reasons why. But just think of it as you two have the power to save lives. So, one blood unit, whether it's used for a sickle cell patient, or just used for someone else, because every 2 seconds someone needs a blood transfusion, and 1 out of 3 people will have to have one in their lifetime. So one unit can help 3 people, because it's broken down from your platelet, your plasma, and your whole blood. So you're literally saving lives by sparing 30 minutes of your time in one day. So, you know, definitely give the gift of life. Been my motto during this holiday season.
Okay, okay.
It makes a difference.
Wow. Did you say one unit can help 3 people?
One unit helps 3 people. Ah. So that's what we love the most. Ah. They go out to some place and they say, well, they're not getting too many people to participate. Uh-huh. They only get 10. Well, that 10 people, that 30 different patients that we can affect. So we take it all. It doesn't matter. Because someone, like, you feel like you need it, someone needs to wait for you on their bed in the hospital. So we were privileged in the United States. I was speaking to someone earlier. And they were letting me know about in South America how the way so many children passed away because they don't have that blood when they're in need of it, especially premature babies. 1 in 500 African Americans are born with babies are born with sickle cell. So in South America, if you don't have a family member that's willing to go in and say that this blood is for Mary, then you're not going to get that. They're not going to give that baby that blood if you don't say that it's for this particular person. So many people pass away because they don't have what we are sitting on. So that's why I say it's definitely important to share what you have. Your body is designed to replenish it. You have 10 units in your body and you only get one. And as soon as you finish donating, your body is already working on rebuilding that unit that you already lost. So it's a cycle. Like I say, it takes 30 minutes to save the life, save 3 lives.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
But that's not 30 minutes with a needle. That's not scare people that way.
Okay.
It's not 30 minutes. That's including registration and everything. The average donation time frame is anywhere between 7 and 10 minutes.
You said a lot, sis. You said a lot. The wellness chant is so important. And I love just having this conversation. Wow, what a blessing. Shanika, we gonna end shortly, but I just want to say you blessed us tonight through education, just elevating our awareness. And even with some of the thoughts of everyone and your contribution to the discussion, you know that there are several principles. Dr. Goodman, I'm a professor of mine at Shaw Divinity School. We took a course, Shanika, entitled Health and Spirituality. And I never forget, he said that we can improve in our processes of establishing sustainable partnerships. that's between public health as well as our churches to help eliminate health disparities. What better time than now to have these conversations? So thank you, my sister. And we pray tonight that somebody was blessed, inspired, maybe something that was shared you did not know. And we just wanted, our prayer and hope is to promote health and awareness and to educate congregants in our community. And so before we close out, Reverend Stanley Johnson, we want to pray for the following tonight. Again, I want to thank you to our guest, Shanika Pitts. Thank you, my sister. Thank you so, so much. I'll definitely be in contact with you in a later time. And also keep in prayer, sister, a young lady I talked about earlier, her name, Reverend Johnson, is Marjorie Fritz. Young youth, and she's battling being on dialysis. So let's keep her lifted in prayer. Let's also continue to pray for our church. Let's continue to pray for our members. Let's also keep in prayer Brother Lacey Flintoff. Let's keep him lifted as well. And any others that are in need of prayer, please mention their names at this time.
Sister Billy and family, you know, I lost one of my best friends last week. We grew up when we were together since we were 6 years old. She was married when I left D.C., but I had to leave all the drama there. Cecilia's Spivey, she had one son, Emmanuel Spivey, and they're having a hard time. Her family, she comes from a big family like me, so they'll get better. Pray for me and my family in Henry family.
As well. Thank
my wife,
you so much.
Clara, has a first cousin, Reverend Thorpe, Leon Corbett. He's been diagnosed with COVID-19, and he's having a rough time. So the family is certainly asking for prayers for him.
Okay. Brother Leon Corbett, thank you, Deacon Forrest. Are there others? And if not, again, thank you to Shanika Pitts for joining us of One Blood.
Oh, Reverend Thorpe, got to mention my cousin Kenneth Dark. He's been diagnosed with the COVID-19, and he's having a hard time with it. And me and him are the same age. He's my first cousin.
And it's Kenneth Dark.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. Reverend Stanley Johnson.
Sure, thank you.
If you would lead us in prayer as we close out.
We pray. And all wise God, our Heavenly Father, we come again with thankful hearts. We thank you, Lord, for another day, another opportunity to speak and to serve you and to study your word. Another day just to prove that we are worthy of all the blessings and all of the gifts and all of the grace and mercy that you bestowed upon us, Lord. We just thank you for a reasonable portion of health and strength. We thank you, Lord, that we're in our right mind. And we thank you, Lord, for being with us during our Bible study time. Thank you for our guest speaker. Thank you, Lord, for the insight into various diseases. And we ask, Lord, special prayers for Sister Marjorie Fritz, who's on dialysis. Give us strength, Lord, and heal her body. Just because she's going on dialysis doesn't mean that you have to stay on. Lord, we ask that you pray for our church and all the members. Pray especially for Lacey Flintall if he recovers. We ask your prayers, Lord, for Sister David's family, especially her her cousin, I guess, Kenneth. And we ask, Lord, that you give special emphasis and help and grace and mercy to the Spivey and Henry families, to Leon Corbett, and who's battling the virus. And we just, Lord, we just pray. pray that you will look with mercy upon all those who are sick in mind, body, and spirit.
Yes.
Whose names may not have been called, but Lord, you have a memory as you remember the names of all the billions of people who are living and all those who have died in you. We ask, Lord, that you just bless us in a special way. Forgive us for our sins. Thank you, dear Lord, for your Son Jesus who died for our sins. Make us ever worthy of your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you all, everyone. God is still our Redeemer. Have a good night, everyone. Again, thank you.
Have a good evening.
Have a good evening.